WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect Trump announcing retired General Keith Kellogg will serve as special envoy to Ukraine and Russia. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
He previously served as a national security advisor to former Vice President Mike Pence and as chief of staff to the National Security Council during the first Trump administration. He's been at the conservative America First Policy Institute, and he wrote a paper for that institute talking about the blueprint that he sees for an end to the war in Ukraine. So in this policy paper, he writes that the U.S. should condition aid to Ukraine on Ukraine entering peace talks with Russia.
The White House says three Americans who were wrongfully detained in China have since been released. It's part of a prisoner swap with three Chinese citizens, two serving time for espionage. Thanksgiving travel at its peak today. Millions of Americans on the move. Storms stretching across the country, though, could impact some of those travel plans and lead to delays at airports. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. School referendums impact everyone in a community. When they pass, everyone's taxes can go up. When they fail and schools can't provide everything students deserve, long term it can lead to families leaving the area. Communities are stepping up to fill the gaps caused by low funding from the state. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Voters chose to increase their own property taxes by a record total of $4.4 billion this year. 169 referendums were approved, benefiting 145 school districts. Denise Gomer Hutchinson with the Wisconsin Public Education Network says districts statewide are forced to make tough choices.
The first responsibility of our public schools across the state is to educate children and to take care of the kids and the families that they serve every single day. So that means any available funds that public schools have, they put towards educating children. And so if that means a boiler has to be patched rather than replaced, that's what they're going to do.
School funding from the state hasn't even kept up with inflation most years. It did go up by $325 per student last year, but the gap is still much bigger than that to even meet inflation. State Superintendent Jill Underley has announced she'll be asking for $4 billion in spending for the state's public schools. But that plan needs to be approved after the new legislature takes office in January, and that legislature has a Republican majority.
Lakeside Foods, which supplies frozen and canned foods, announced it's expanding and buying Oregon-based Smith Frozen Foods, but the expansion's not good news for everyone. The company will move its operations to Oregon and close the production facility in Manitowoc. Officials say all employees have been offered other positions in the company. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to wgbw.fm.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback? In the cold, Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day, in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami, so how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach, Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries, and a low in the low 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow with scattered flurries and a high close to 30. Even with sunshine returning, staying cold through the rest of the holiday weekend, only in the low to mid 20s. Currently it's 26.
Harbor Freight knows tool people like to keep busy. But with our Black Friday sale coming up Thanksgiving weekend, you'll want to free up some time. We're talking deals like our 5,000-watt generators under $800, 17-foot ladders for $99.99, and 40% off Icon Pro socket sets. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 12/2/24. While supplies last, limitations apply.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
It's not Tom.
No, it's John and Gordy.
We're filling in for Tom.
From WMDX, we broadcast the morning show.
From Madison.
Capital City.
From the Civic Media Radio Network headquarters.
2 hours early in the morning.
Yeah.
We're the best kept secret of Civic Media. We were anyway.
Well, you open the political talk show lineup of the day, and we close it.
That's exactly right.
Yes, and we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. You know, tomorrow everybody's hitting the roads tonight. And
got a little story about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good family get together. Let me just say that.
Oh no.
We'll talk about that in a little while.
We'll get to that, but yeah. I just want to get to a few texts here. Lynn from Oconomowoc says, "Happy Thanksgiving. We bring jobs back. We have an aging population, labor shortage, dairy trade wars. Trump subsidized farmers for about $32 billion the last time around. No, that's not inflationary at all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Cam from Appleton says, we don't hear anything about Canada. They're dealing with a massive Indian and Pakistan issue presently. They want to report. I don't know about that one. I didn't know.
We're taking your calls and texts at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And now it's time to welcome in our guest this time around. It's Jim Santel, attorney and host of Amicus, a law review. Jim, good to have you with us again.
Gentlemen, good to be with you. It seems like it was just yesterday. Oh, in fact, it was. Right?
That's right. Yes, on our morning show here.
Delighted to be a part of your morning show. Whenever you are on Civic Media, I'm there with you.
I know. And the last time you were here, you went on a rant. You were not happy about anything that Jack Smith had done or wanted to do.
Or Merrick Garland.
Or Merrick Garland.
Department of Justice kind of just dropping off those cases and putting them in the files.
So now that you've had a little time to absorb what happened.
Now how do you feel?
Yeah, calm
do
you feel down, now? Right?
Well, it seems you're still healthy and not drinking heavily. Tell us about your impressions about, you know, letting all of this stuff go. It seems like somebody is above the law, and that's never been true in this country, that, you know, everybody, the law applies to everybody. And now we found out that it's not true anymore. This is such a dramatic change from what we know as, you know, the United States, the country, the Constitution. It's a complete change.
I think that's right, John. And again, many, many things to take away from events, obviously the past 2 years, but that's one of them, right?
Right.
The Supreme Court tells us 6 months ago, 5 months ago, that we have quite literally an imperial president who, as Sonia Sotomayor said, has a ready gun in the West Wing, ready to go off if he or she chooses to use it. And one can make the argument, again, reasonable people can differ on these things, that when the Department of Justice abandons legitimate 2 years of prosecution returned by a federal grand jury, actually grand juries, plural, probable cause to believe that the former president, future president, has committed crimes. And they do it because he's going to be the next president. He's going to be the next president. That fundamentally tells me that the presidency is indeed a position that one can aspire to, and you can aspire to that, and you can get rid of your criminal exposure. And that's coming from the Department of Justice. That's the Biden administration. That's Merrick Garland saying that now. And I know they would not embrace that theory. They would be jumping all over me. But when you step back, as we begin to do in the wake of this national nightmare we've been through, that's one of the takeaways that, again, complicit and accepting of things and permitting, obeying in advance, as we've talked about so often, indicating that he's going to be the president. And for the next 55 days, while he's not the president, we're going to give him the benefit, not just the benefit of doubt, we're going to give him the benefit of a policy that doesn't apply. Get rid of these cases and effectively say that this is the one person in America who is, John, as you've just said, above the law.
Absolutely. John Stewart had an amazing analysis a little while back, and he looked at the difference between the parties. And one party seems to be looking at not just the law, but the loopholes for every law that's out there. Now, there's a loophole for almost every law.
Sure.
And then there is a party that deals with the third mark, and that is the norm. And what you're talking about here in the Justice Department and this rule that they have is the norm. This is being very polite. We can't do this to a sitting president. Well, he's not a sitting president yet, but he's going to be, so we're just going to let these cases go. Well, you know, this norm thing is really getting in the way. It's blocking a lot of what we can do or demand from our government at this point, isn't it?
I think that's right. And when you take the norms, which are important, not only the legislation, the rule of law is important. When you take the norms, as you have just said, and you distort those norms, question whether you're doing anything other than what the first group that you just identified, the Republicans, are doing. Because again, you're taking here a principle that does not apply right now, because he's not a sitting president. And you're also then saying that the American public, and this is my principal beef, as you know, the American public will not get an opinion on whether or not the Supreme Court case precludes the prosecution of him, will not get an opinion from the 11th Circuit about whether or not in the future, whether these special counsels are legitimate. Those are important things for the American population to know. Recognizing that neither one of those cases, need to be very clear, we all know these cases are not going to trial. One way or the other, they will be gone in 60 days. But it's important in terms of the rule of law, the norms in our nation, that we have resolution to these things, and that the law, the judges, the principals, the litigants, the lawyers, tell us what that law is all about. And that's what the Department of Justice has abandoned. And that's the norm that they have not followed up on. And that's what's so concerning.
Right. And determine that, you know, all of this is without prejudice. We can return to this case, but it's absolutely not going to happen.
Absolutely. And right. And here's my shot then again at this, you know, against the, the mainstream media here. And I do not include everybody in this, but, you know, there were efforts doing backflips on Monday night to try to explain this. Oh, it's not. So I had to do it compelled by policy. One of the things that a lot of the commentators brought up, well, this is without prejudice. And what that means is that it can come back at any time, that a prosecutor can bring it back. And again, the honest people on those media outlets said, well, when you dismiss something, you're not suspending the statute of limitations. These events happened in 2001. And yes, you filed the charges within the statute of limitations. It's way beyond that, going to be way beyond that very, very shortly, if it isn't already, in terms of prosecutions here. The notion that somehow you could bring this back in a couple of years and file, who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Not the Department of Justice.
Right.
That's just ridiculous. And so let's not even talk media about how that will soften the blow here. The other piece that they talk about, of course, is the fact, and this is a part of his obligation, he will put together a report. And that will be interesting, and we should talk about that. Mm-hmm. We have pretty much seen in his omnibus filing already with the judge what this trial was going to be all about. And that's significant. But it also doesn't, as a report by the special counsel issued sometime between now and January 20th, is not a prosecution. And it's not a resolution of these outstanding rule of law issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at, again, I'll show it to you here. This is the New York Times. End of Trump cases leaves limits on presidential criminality unclear.
Yeah.
We don't get that. And again, some of the media understands that. None of those sort of red herrings should compel us to be happy and somehow embrace what has happened here.
Well, we saw the Mueller report that ended up doing nothing at all. Mm-hmm. You know, then Trump said that he had nothing to do with Russia, even though, you know, Russia was indicted in that. And I think 5 or 8 people, Russians, were indicted.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, then we have a situation where Trump is going to be 82 years old, and they're not going to want to prosecute an 82-year-old when he gets out of office. So that is also a possibility of, you know, saying, well, then we might as well let this go. But the other thing, too, is we saw the reports from the first impeachment. We saw it from the second impeachment, and none of that mattered. None of it. And we didn't have to go through this if the Senate had done its job and took these things seriously.
Absolutely. And I include, again, those people in the House of Representatives. Early on, you speak about the Mueller report. Bob Mueller said he couldn't prosecute because of this policy. You don't prosecute a sitting president. And what he did was he said, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House of Representatives, here's your opportunity. And he laid out a clear case. That was a case that was not the subject of an impeachment. We did not deter him early on. We instead waited for the Ukraine matter, which is a far less compelling case. And we did that one. The Senate did nothing with that. And then once again, we finally did January 6th, both as a prosecution and as an impeachment. And nothing has come of those either. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of responsibility to be spread around here, including, and I understand the frustration of an awful lot of people out there, and frankly, all sides of the political aisle, who are upset at a system that fundamentally just doesn't hold someone accountable, regardless of whether they're the next president or not. All those defendants out there who are sitting anticipating trials, what do we think about them? What do we think about the jury that spent 7 weeks? Again, this is moving from the federal cases to the New York case. That jury in New York spent 7 weeks and suffered threats and suffered concerns, made this determination. And now it looks as if, hasn't been happened yet, now it looks as if that one's going to go away too. What do we tell people about the significance of the jury system when they're called in to be members of a jury? Right. Are they going to say, is my work going to go for naught? Those are the lessons that, unfortunately, all of this sends beyond just Donald Trump.
And Trump getting off, and then, of course, he's going to let all of the insurrectionists loose as well.
He's got virtually carte blanche when it comes to the pardon authority. We'll see that. 1,200 people, a lot coming in. And that is unfettered authority. Any president can do that. The question is that a good exercise of discretion?
All right, Jim. Thanks for joining us today.
Jim Santel.
Amicus Law Review. Check it out on Saturday morning, 9 to 11.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Back with more of the Dom Salvia Show with John and Gordy sitting in. Just a moment.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is the Dom Sylvia Show. John and Gordy filling in. From WMDX in Madison.
We're taking your calls, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we asked Attorney Jim Santel to stick around here because we got a question we were going into break.
That's right.
And I believe Dick is on the line from Madison with a question or a comment. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, I would love to ask James this. Okay, here's a guy who's with the abortion issue. He wants to go to states' rights, correct?
Absolutely, so, right?
When that is the case, when we got 34 counts in the state of New York, how come we can't just let the state of New York deal with this? Does the federal government just get to supersede this and his stack Supreme Court, make it go away, put it in his face and go, hey, you are all about states' rights and when it comes to the abortion issue, let each individual state take care of it. How about on this?
Right, right. And Dick, I would say that both your civics and your constitutional sense are spot on. Again, you're talking again about a case that is not federal. It is pending in the state of New York. This is a case in front of Juan Merchan. He was supposed to have sentenced Donald Trump yesterday morning, and that has not happened because apparently we're scratching our heads now, Dick, in exactly the way that all of us are, and saying, maybe that federal decision about immunities prevents us from going ahead, and he's going to be the president of the federal government of the United States. And therefore, we can't go ahead here. I think you've got a very good point here about states' rights and the independence of the New York court to do what it should do. It is not subject to oversight by a president. There is this thing, of course, called federalism and, yes, the supremacy clause having to do with the supreme law of the land. But your point is well taken, Dick, and it's one that I think we need to discuss more when it comes to that New York disposition. It's still pending right now. But it sure looks as if Juan Merchan is going to either dismiss that one or even arguably even, but just as incredibly, send it off, put it on the file cabinet for until 2029 and then do years of sentencing and appeals into the 2030s, which again,
might leave it
talk
in a
about justice.
Yes, might leave it in the restroom someplace. You
know? All good points, Dick.
All right, Dick, thanks for calling. And Jim, thank you for sticking around for the phone call.
Great to be with you. Thanks. We'll have you Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
So. All right. You too.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Speaking of holidays, I spent last weekend, celebrating a holiday early, our Christmas get-together, family get-together took place.
Who was in this little get-together?
Well, my brothers, younger brothers, they're twins, and my older sister from Long Island. And you know, they bought their airplane tickets in November, for November, because they were a little less expensive. So that's why we got together so early. Now, I hadn't heard from them. We're not a close family. So I don't know if that's any indication. But at the dinner table, when everybody was done and a few people had left, my brothers, my younger brothers were sitting there. And I said, you know, I mentioned a case about what Trump might do to colleges and school funding. And they just looked at me and they said, well, we'll see. I said, what do you mean, we'll see? Yeah, obviously, you know, the people that he wants to put in place in his administration, they're crazy people. And they didn't seem to blink an eye. And I said, well, what about this nominee and that nominee? Yeah. And they said, well, we'll see what happens.
Wait and see, huh?
I'm just
wait
like,
and see.
What is this?
Couldn't get an answer out of him. Well, just kicked it down the can.
I was stumped. And then I realized all of a sudden that my brother, who's gay and has been very liberal, Democratic, we've talked many, many times about this, he voted for Trump.
No. And they, really?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's...
Why?
The thing is, I don't know. I didn't get into that. I tried to get into that. I tried to understand what their thinking was. And I brought up a few other examples of why it's a bad idea to have voted for him. And they just sat there very calmly, almost like they were possessed by some kind of alien plant, that they just simply said, well, we'll wait and see. You know,
what about your older sister?
We saw. We had
4 years of it. That's what I brought up. And, you know, that didn't matter. In fact, that was just a blank stare. They didn't say anything to that. My sister, she wasn't in the room at the time.
Oh, okay.
She's very liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she wasn't there to back you up or anything.
No. Well, I was starting to get really upset. And I thought, well, I'm going to calm down because my brothers seemed that, you know, they were just numb. They weren't going to say anything. Mm. And they just sat there and looked at me very calmly, but very intensely at the same time. And they were just saying, we'll wait and see. They said a lot of things. They're not going to do all those things. And if they did want to do those things, they probably won't get a chance to do it. So we'll just wait and see.
So your one brother who you thought would vote for Democrats didn't.
Right.
Well,
the other one, he worked for Uline.
Oh.
And so the Ulines beat out Elon for contributions to Trump's campaign. Wow. And he picked up a little bit of that conservative feel. And I would assume that he voted for Trump just to see what would happen. You know, why not just throw caution to the wind?
So that was your Thanksgiving. Yeah. You going to get it together for Christmas? Get the whole family to get back?
No.
No?
No, that's it.
You're done.
I'm not going to discommunicate them.
Okay.
I'm just going to take a break here. I'm just going to relax. I'm not even going to bring it up to them next time. I'm just going to let this thing play out, and we'll all wait.
You're just
going
to wait and see, huh, John?
By the way, that's what I told them. I said, you know what? We all are forced to wait and see at this point. You know, it's not something I can voluntarily do.
I think there'll be a lot of conversations around the dinner table on Thanksgiving tomorrow like that, where just awkward silences and who people voted for.
I think so, because it's scary.
It's still
it really is scary.
On everybody's minds. Yeah.
By the way, I've got a tip coming up.
Okay. Really?
Yes. Daily Show put together a little thing that they want everybody to watch and understand when they get together with their families over the holiday season.
All right. That's coming up. It's the Dom Salvia Show. John and Gordy filling in. You can call us 855-752-4842. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ashwaubenon to Alloway. This is 97.9 WGBW.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. According to the AARP, 80% of Americans were targeted by at least one holiday scam last year. Scams are so prevalent, they're a global business, says Grant Wheat, Vice President of Risk Management at Verva Credit Union.
This has become its own commerce, right? Fraud, scams is its own business now. In the U.S. alone, last year, was the estimated $130 billion of American wealth transferred to scammers. And globally, we're looking at over a $3 trillion business across the globe when it comes to fraud and scams.
Wheat says to avoid being scammed, slow down, scrutinize every non-solicited email or text, and reach out to someone you trust before sending any money, gift cards, or Bitcoin. Whooping cough continues to spread here in Wisconsin. We're seeing a spike this year, and state health officials want people to be safe this Thanksgiving. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Almost 1,900 people have tested positive for pertussis or whooping cough here in Wisconsin this year. It starts out feeling like the average cold that can make it tough to know when you have it. Anybody can catch it at any age, but it can be particularly dangerous for babies and people with compromised immune systems. 76 Wisconsin babies have been hospitalized so far this year. Right now, lots of young people are getting it. Half of all the cases here in the Badger State have been in kids ages 11 to 18. It's called whooping cough because of the sound people often make when they have it. But health officials say teens and adults typically don't present with that telltale cough, and some young kids may not do it either. Of course, nobody wants to be left out of holiday festivities, but staff from the Department of Health Services say stay home if you're sick.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries, and a low in the low 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow as scattered flurries and a high close to 30. Even with sunshine returning, staying cold through the rest of the holiday weekend, only in the low to mid 20s.
It's 28 degrees right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I have an all-star lineup of John Legend, Jenny Slate, Adam Brody, and the one and only John Grise, also known as Uncle Rico. And I'm joined by musical guest Eric Ratzak from Ask Your Mother and Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Yeah.
It's the Don Selvia Show. John and Gordy in the morning, filling in
the afternoon.
That's right. We're broadcasting from Madison.
So we did two shows today. We get paid double today? Or is that the way that works?
No.
Plus holiday pay?
I think.
Plus?
Maybe.
Bonus?
I don't know.
No?
We should push for that. It's too late to do that.
Okay.
It's way too late to do that.
Well, we thank for Dom for letting us fill in.
Yeah. Kind of he was happy to have an extra day for Thanksgiving.
Happy to have a day off.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's fantastic.
Is he back tomorrow? For Thanksgiving,
no, we have a special episode tomorrow. It is mostly some new pre-recorded content with a little bit of a replay of an excellent, excellent interview that we did yesterday tacked on to the end. And then on Friday, I will be guest hosting the Dom Selvia Show.
Wow.
Absolutely, I will be. And Mr. Zommers, Todd Alba's producer, will be joining me. And we will also be hearing from Greg Bach, producer for Up North News and co-host of Matt and Air on Air, for a special Oops All Producers episode of the Dom Selvia Show. Oops.
That really does sound like fun. Really
producers
does.
Are taking over on Friday. Well, good for you. That'll be that'll be a great time.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Now, let's get to a little tip here, you know, for getting together in the holiday season here.
Okay.
The Daily Show had their
take on it. Because
you would
know. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was a nightmare for me. And
if only you had had this tip from John Stewart.
If only I had known.
Yeah.
This is the way to do it if you have problems at dinner, Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever happens.
Or whatever holiday.
This is the way to deal with it. They have the solution. Let's listen to the Daily Show cut right now, all right?
Sorry, what was that number?
Oh,
stand by.
That was 179.
There we go.
179.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. I swear I had it. All right, let's go.
Leslie Jones will come to your house and politely interject when the conversation becomes political.
I'm just thankful that Roe v. Wade was finally overturned.
That's the conversation you want to start right now at this table while everybody's happy during Thanksgiving. While we trying to be happy. You know what? Have some dry-ass turkey. And shut
The way I see it is your generation are all a bunch of lazy socialists.
Who is you calling lazy? You can't even bring proper pie to Thanksgiving. And stop kissing the kids in the mouth. That's nasty.
And if that doesn't work, Leslie goes back to basics.
I'll just say, these transgender people...
Can I have some
And that's the solution.
Oh.
Just loud screaming
just
in their ear.
Scream and yell.
That's it. Yep.
Oh,
well, she's crazy, though. I mean, she used to be on Saturday Night Live.
I know.
Remember? Yeah. Fantastic
Hilarious.
Stuff. Okay, now this is a normal, everyday get together. You know, the pundits get together around a table on CNN, and they talk politics, right? And there's a conservative... at this table, I don't know who he is. I don't know, but he always gets ripped somehow by some of the guests on that table. They they talk to him, don't raise your eyebrows to me. Don't furrow your forehead to me. And you know, don't say dear to any of my guests. So this guy is always getting hit for something. And I don't feel sorry for him. He's a conservative. But when... you got to listen to this guy. This is almost like a comedy bit.
Okay.
Because they're talking about fentanyl at the border, right? So he always takes it to this extreme. He makes something up, and it leaves the guests and the other hosts kind of taken aback. So let's just look at it as a comedy bit for somebody, you know, trying to make the conversation difficult for everybody else. Let's listen to this cut. It's cut 180.
It's national security, and it's this poison that is killing American people all over this country.
I 100% agree. Like, the fentanyl epidemic is horrible. It's tragic. We need to do
something
about
it. And China's part of it as well, and they're part
of
it as well.
You know that there actually was bipartisan legislation intended to increase our fentanyl detection technologies at the border, and Trump killed it. That was the bipartisan border bill that Trump basically unilaterally
killed. You keep fighting these old battles.
It's Donald not Trump, an old battle. You're saying it's a current issue. Donald Trump won, and he wants, issue. And he I'm wants saying we have a solution.
The border secured.
That's the solution
he,
to
but
it.
But he wants the next.
That's the solution
It's not
to
the
it.
Only solution, because Mexico has to do something.
They
it's
have
coming
been doing
up their
something.
Country and right over our border.
Do you know what, do you
they
know
do nothing. It's a crisis. They do nothing.
Do you know what's happened to border crossings in the last year? They've gone down by about 75%.
It's a crisis. If you want to argue that it's safe, and secure your that's
I didn't
crazy.
Say that. I didn't say
They've
that.
They got it at.
They got it. I didn't say that. I'm saying
it's down 75%.
Yeah.
But it's a crisis. It's just weird, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it stretches the imagination. I'll tell you what, let's take a phone call right now. We have Joe. Joe, thanks for giving us a call today.
I appreciate it, and you're doing, of course, a fantastic job. I wanted to respond with an immense gripe, but a possible solution, and that was in your first hour, you had comments from the quivering worm, J.D. Vance, and he was using the terminology of America's heartland, which is, I don't know about you guys, but when somebody starts using the words America's heartland, I just want to take out my fist and knock their choppers out. I find it the most bogus marketing, ridiculous term ever. Like, there is one part of the country that is the heartland, and the rest is, I don't know, America's hangnail or something, you know, that doesn't count
right,
at
exactly.
all.
Right, so, exactly. Yes.
You know, I mean, the coast, we don't want to deal with them. We don't want to deal with cities. You know, that's elitist, blah, blah, blah. And I find it such phony baloney. Either we're all Americans or we're not. And this idea that they're somehow more, just better. They're just better and pure and just better in the central part of the country. I just find obnoxious. And it's just like the farmers are better. Well, they don't have farmers in California. I think they do. But I just, in this time, I just wanted to offer, especially because it's just such a sad time and dispiriting. And there is a wonderful short film that your folks can find during, if you want to take a break from the relatives for a little bit, it's called The Boat Lift. You can find it on YouTube. It's about 12 minutes long. And again, it's called The Boat Lift on YouTube. And it's the most upbeat, heartwarming piece of America that I've heard or seen in ages. It's a short film narrated by Tom Hanks. And it's this little piece of history that I was completely unaware of, which is after 9/11, that day, Manhattan's an island, and Manhattan, the island, was shut down. The tunnels were closed, the roads were closed, and you had thousands and tens of thousands of people who were stranded on Manhattan and had no idea how they were going to get home and were frightened. They'd been through something absolutely terrible and had no idea if this was just the first opening salvo in a war against that island, that place in our country. And the film looks at the fact, okay, how are these people going to get out of there? And so what happened was the Coast Guard put out I'm not telling, giving it away. You can definitely see many more twists and turns. But the bulk of it is the Coast Guard sent out a notice and said, any boats that are free, please come help. There were hundreds that responded, hundreds. Mm. They were tugboats, they were pleasure boats, and they came and they took people home. It was became the largest boat lift in history, period. This is America, not this garbage that we're going through right now. This is America. And if you're feeling down and feeling like, what is happening to my country, I just would encourage you anybody to give a look at it. It's about 12 minutes long. The film is called The Boat Lift, narrated by Tom Hanks, and you can find it on YouTube. So happy Thanksgiving, all, and let's just keep watching out for each other because we are going to make it through otherwise. So,
oh, I know.
Thanks,
I know,
Joe.
All right, thanks for the review as well.
Yeah,
we'll have to
check
that out.
I will put that into the show notes if you want to go find that at civicmedia.us/shows. Search for The Dom Salvia Show. You can also find those podcast notes at Spotify or Apple Podcast.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Good enough. And we're still taking your calls and texts at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to talk about the hardest town to spell.
Hardest town to spell. I just found this to be kind of interesting because my relatives live up north and I thought spelling a town up north is probably really really difficult because it's hard to say a lot of the names up there.
There's a lot of
spelling
all over the state,
right?
Not just up north.
And so it's Wyawega.
That's it. Huh?
That's the hardest town to spell in Wisconsin. we're really getting down to the brass tacks here, aren't we?
Oh, it's just an odd item.
1,790 people live there. It's located halfway between Wisconsin Dells and Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Wyawega means where we rest.
Okay.
I guess it was hard to say, so they said Wyawega.
Wyawega.
Why we rest. Say that faster
a
few times.
No, I don't want to. But that's the hardest one to spell.
Yeah, yeah, right. That is. And I just thought, well, they call it Wega.
Is that
there,
what,
I guess.
Okay.
Or Wega. I'm not sure what they say up there.
Mm.
All right. But having been a resident of Milwaukee for the first 30 years of my life,
yeah.
We had a department store there in Milwaukee by the name of Treasure Island.
Okay.
Okay.
They
had a squiggly roof, which was really problematic when it rained and snow piled up on it, because it would just pile up and it would leak badly.
It would freeze up?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Anybody get hurt with ice flying off of that thing?
But they shouldn't have had the squiggly part all across the store. You know, should you, like, just the frontage.
Okay.
You know, they could have had a squiggly roof on the front just to get the point across, right?
It's odd. Right.
So I'd like to have you cue up 174 for me. And this is an ad put together by Treasure Island. I don't know if they were statewide or not, but they were very local. And this ad played off the different names of the cities in Wisconsin. Let's hear it.
Coggin, they prefer McWanago or Peshtigo, and so do I.
Oh, come off it. Peshtigo isn't even as good as Noka Bay or even Little Swamico.
Oh, look, you go to Namacoggin. I'll go to Peshtigo. Mom and Daddy have always gone to Wyalushing. This year, they said it was Pokegama or Peshtigo. No, wait a minute. It was Muscadet they were talking. No, Ashwaheno. Wait a minute.
Well, wherever you paddle your canoe this summer or wherever you camp, you'll find everything you need under the squiggly roof of Gamo.
There it is.
Now, wow.
Yeah, I managed to get that commercial because I sat next to my tape recorder constantly all day long and night recording off the radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a little piece of history. Yeah. Explains a lot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. That's locked sad. Away in my room drawing comic books.
Look where it got you.
I know. Yeah. I know. Big fan of Marvel.
Again, I'm a big fan of this Deer Hunters Roundup. I want to mention this again because this is really something that is taken off.
Well, please do.
50 years it's been on the radio station way up north here. It's I just had it right in front of me. If you go to the Civic Media app, you can find it, civicmedia.us. And they're doing this all the way through deer hunting season. So for another, several nights, seven or eight nights, I think. And this is just a great thing. They have the podcast at civicmedia.us. All these deer hunters telling their deer hunting stories with all their code names for whatever they're
hunting
from. And
that's what I'm going to be listening for.
Yeah.
The names
highlight of the show.
The names of their deer camps.
Exactly.
I can't imagine what they're talking about, what they're saying. I mean, obviously, there's some intoxication involved.
Maybe.
Some drinking.
It's WCQM 98.3, 6 to 8 p.m. So you can listen to it, on
live
the Civic Media.
On the Civic Media app.
Yep. And 25 years, Joel Karnick has been hosting this. 25 years.
I know.
That's amazing. So tune that in. Check it out. That's our recommendation.
Well, that's a long time to host that show. How long
it's
is
been
it?
On,
a couple of weeks,
it's
right?
been on for 50 years.
Yeah.
He's hosted it for half of that time.
I bet he has some stories to tell.
You think?
Well,
fabulous.
I haven't heard it, so I wish I could talk about it.
Well, you can find it on the podcast.
What could they talk about at these deer camps?
Are you kidding me? There's all kinds of stories.
Is it?
All
really?
Kinds. Yeah, we got to check it out.
All right.
All right.
Not a hunter myself, so I wouldn't know.
Okay. Hey, we're coming back with tidbits, odds and ends, a few leftovers.
We've got a great comedy bit from Britain. You got to check this thing out.
All right. It's John and Gordy in for Dom Salvia on the Dom Salvia Show, Civic Media Radio Network. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
He wear no shoeshine, he got toe-jam football, he got monkey finger, he shoot Coca-Cola, he say, I know you, you know me. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free, come together.
All right. John and Gordy filling in for Dom Salvia today. And we're going to close out the show with a couple of entertaining little cuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Something to put a smile on your face.
Well, that's what I'm thinking as you go
grandma's
out.
House.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving.
Worried about meeting your relatives who may have voted for Trump.
Yeah. So that's so this should do it. This should lighten the load a little bit.
Huh? That's right. I think this will help a lot. I mean,
well, what do you got here?
You know, a lot of people have tweeted in the past, and they've said some very nasty things. We know that J.D. Vance said some very nasty things about Trump. Now he's a vice president.
Yeah. RFK Jr.
Nasty things.
Yeah.
Terrible
horrible stuff.
So,
yeah.
This British prime minister is being confronted by things he tweeted in the past by the. By the media, this is a comedy bit. It's not real.
This is not real.
Yeah,
okay.
I only found that out at the end of the bit because the guy says, well, aren't you going to change your profile picture? And it's a picture of him holding a sign saying Trump is a C word. Okay.
Oh, well,
But when he looked down and he's changing that on screen, I thought, this is a joke. But anyway, check it out. This is fantastic stuff. I think you'll like it.
So, Minister, Donald Trump is president-elect once again. What are your thoughts on his emphatic win?
Well, look, obviously, I congratulate Donald Trump on his victory, and I look forward to working with his administration over the next 4 years.
You've got some bridges to build with him, though, haven't you, given that in January 2017 you said Donald Trump is a neo-Nazi and a disgusting sexual predator. God help the United States.
The Prime Minister and I have already had several meetings with President Trump in order to maintain a healthy relationship that benefits both countries, and I think that's what's important right now.
When you met the President, did he mention this tweet you wrote back in March 2017 when you said, how can anyone spend time with Donald Trump and not come to the conclusion that he's an unscrupulous, egotistical, misogynistic fascist? God, I hate him.
What I'm focused on is making sure that our strong working relationship with the United States continues under President Trump and his team.
Even though you said this in July 2017, Donald Trump is contemptible, vile and odious, a tornado of corruption and depravity in a flappy blue suit. He makes me sick. Donald Trump is a man who speaks as he finds, but I think that it's important that we find some common ground in the national interest, and that's what myself and the Prime Minister are focused on doing in the coming months. So presumably you no longer think what you tweeted in December 2017 when you said, anyone who tries to forge working relationships with Trump is an unprincipled, morally bankrupt charlatan who should be treated with contempt and total disdain. I don't care who you are, if you want to work with that fascist monster, you're a piece of The transatlantic relationship is one of the most important relationships that the UK has, and I don't think that bringing up tweets that I posted several years ago should have any bearing on what we're trying to achieve today. Even though you said in January 2018, oh God. Don't ever forget these things I'm saying about Donald Trump. Seriously, if you find me reeling off some spurious thoughts in years to come about looking forward to working with Donald Trump because he's been re-elected, God forbid, then take it as read that I've sold my soul for the sake of my political career and should be kicked in the face for the rest of my life by the people who voted for me. So much has changed in 8 years, and I think that it's incumbent upon us to extend the hand of friendship to President Trump for the sake of national and financial security. Okay, if that's the case, perhaps you should also change your profile photo.
there you look down and he's going to change it online. It's fantastic stuff. That's it.
Beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a great bit. It really was. Mm. We're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
I did send you Weisenheimer cut.
I've got
it. Okay, fantastic. But first we want to get to something that, you know, the grift continues. And boy, I think Trump is going to be very wealthy by the end of his 4 years.
You think so?
Well, you know, he's selling the watches for $100,000, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
No, there's no guarantee they're going to mail them out. Okay, so you know that he's taking bribes.
Mm.
That's what those watches are about. They're not making the watches. He's just taking $100,000 watch money.
Oh man!
All right, and now he's selling a guitar.
Yeah, it's an electric guitar, and it's a complete ripoff of a Gibson Les Paul. I mean, it's an exact ripoff.
Yes,
copy.
You noticed that immediately when I showed you the picture.
You showed me the picture a few days ago, and he's done that. And Gibson is famous for being extremely protective of the copyrights and all the patents on the Gibson Les Paul guitar. Yeah. Of course, Les Paul from Waukesha, Wisconsin, inventor of the electric guitar, whether it was him or Leo Fender, there's always a debate of who had it first.
But doesn't it make it legal? I mean, so what if they copy it? You know, it's got Trump's signature on it. It's got to be okay then.
No,
right?
It's not okay at all. And Gibson is laying down the law, and they're issued a cease and desist.
Right.
Of course, we know how much that's going to be paid attention to by Trump. But,
well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll wait and see.
Wait and see.
All right, folks.
See what happens.
We've had a lot of fun here today filling in for Dom.
We thank him.
He'll be back after the holidays, of course, and we'll be back in the morning show on Monday.
And Jess, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jess.
Thank
being
you.
With us this evening. And tomorrow there's going to be a special Dom Salvia show.
That's correct. Right. Dom and I will be coming to you pre-recorded tomorrow. And then you'll be with me on Friday for Oops All Producers.
Excellent.
Oops.
Should be a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, John and Gordy.
Let's play the Weisenheimers out with a special cut of the Packers Go Packers.
Well, we're actually going out with some Beatles. Come together.
That's fine. And thanks to Dom Salvia again for letting us fill in. And everybody here at the Civic Media
thanks
Radio
for the calls
Network.
And texts.
Yeah. We'll talk to you Monday in Madison.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
So long.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special Thanksgiving show. We'll give you some updates on the season and also some best ofs of the year. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.